Hey everyone, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. It's so great to see all of you. And let's begin our session as we always do with a period of meditation. So I invite you to join me in turning attention within. Whatever you're doing, if you're able to close your eyes. Obviously, if you're tuning in while you're driving, please stay completely alert. Allowing our attention to come to this quiet, still space that we all share. There's so much happening in the world right now. So much uncertainty and so much pain being acted out. This is where it's so important that we as miracle workers be completely committed to owning and handing over to spirit even the most subtle of judgmental thoughts. The most subtle of fears. This is our work that we can do with our own minds, our small part. As we accept the holy instant for ourselves, so we can extend it, we can extend what we receive out into the world. And if you'd like, just imagine right now, Holy Spirit is here with us, as Holy Spirit is. And we can collectively give Holy Spirit every fear, every judgment, every idea even that we have about who God is, what God is, what we think we know, what we think is right, what we think is wrong. We can hand all of this over to Holy Spirit to just empty ourselves. Because as we empty ourselves, what do? But we make space for that which is already in us. That blazing, shining love to come forth and fill our minds and our hearts. And when we extend this love, we learn that it is ours. It is who we are. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And just taking a few mindful, deep breaths in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. A nice little pleasant event when I close my eyes and then when I open them and there's so many more of you here. So it's so good to see everyone. So good. Tonight, we will be reading part 25 in the Manual for Teachers, Are Psychic Powers Desirable? It is page 1642 in the purple book in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is page 62 in the manual section. So in all the editions, it is part 25 in the manual for teachers, Are Psychic Powers Desirable? Oh, by the way, Michelle.
Hi, sorry. Just one really, really quick thing. Just from last week, when Andrea was talking about the game analogy, I just wanted to share it just made me think about the book by Ken Carey, The Third Millennium. I don't know if anyone is familiar with his books. So he has a few books. He also has the Starseed Transmissions and Vision. And I learned about him through Marianne Williamson. Apparently that's who she was reading. Years ago, I was reading an article and they were asking what books are on her bedside table. And this was what it was. So anyways, it really aligns a lot with The Course in Miracles. A really cool read if anyone's interested. But it does talk about that sort of game analogy.
Mm.
So it's The Third Millennium by Ken Carey. And he also has the Starseed Transmissions and Vision and a few other books. So they're really cool. Interesting reads.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping I could read a couple of lines from it? Just a couple.
Sure.
Okay. We would tell you of the early hours when your thoughts first came to rest upon this world, when your love first illumined the world and shone through robes of water and soil, days when we were with you yet, back when the world was young. And then it says, there was a game we would sometimes play, an elementary energy exchange, an early form of relationship. A segment of source energy would break itself free from the main body and assume momentary individuality, personifying selected frequencies in order to experience relationships with others who had done the same. And then it goes on, but I mean, obviously we went too deep into it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we forgot. Wow. But they're coming back to remind us who we are.
Awesome. Thank you, Michelle.
Our non-physical friends.
Friends. I love our non-physical friends. I've been getting to know them quite well lately. That's great. Thank you, Michelle.
Okay, thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was by Ken Carey.
Ken Carey, K-E-N. And then Carey is C-A-R-E-Y.
C-A-R-E-Y, perfect.
C-A-R-E-Y, The Third Millennium.
Awesome.
And the Starseed Transmissions, yeah.
Thank you, Michelle. Yay. I love that we're starting out with the idea of our non-physical friends because they're real. It's not just the Holy Spirit and Jesus. There's lots of other beings out there that are here to help us and are around waiting for us to ask for help. So I love that we're starting on that idea. So thank you again, Michelle. So we are going to read, I'm really into this section currently. I'll share a little bit about that, but we're reading section 25, Are Psychic Powers Desirable? So this is again in the manual for teachers, page 16, for anybody who just joined, page 1642 in the CE, page 62 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. So here we go, part 25, Are Psychic Powers Desirable? The answer to this question is much like the preceding one. There are, of course, no, quote, unnatural powers, and it is obviously merely an appeal to magic to make up a power that does not exist. It is equally obvious, however, that each individual has many abilities of which he is unaware. As his awareness increases, he may well develop abilities that seem quite startling to him. Yet nothing he can do can compare even in the slightest with the glorious surprise of remembering who he is. Let all his learning and all his effort be directed toward this one great final surprise, and he will not be content to be delayed by little ones, by little surprises that may come to him on the way. So some of the first things I'll highlight in this paragraph is that it says that there are no unnatural powers. It's obviously just an appeal. It's an ego appeal to magic to try to make up powers that don't exist. And it says, it is equally obvious, however, that each individual has many abilities of which he is unaware. This is speaking to every single one of you listening to this call. Each of us has abilities of which we are unaware. And just sink into that for a moment, that you have abilities. Like, say this to yourself, if you will. I have abilities of which I am unaware. As our awareness increases, in other words, as we allow fear blocks in our minds to be released, as we drop the fear, we may well develop abilities that seem quite startling. Yet none of these abilities will compare to remembering who it is that we truly are. That is the ultimate thing. And if we are just focused on that one, as it calls, great final surprise, we certainly won't be content or be interested in getting distracted by whatever abilities might come to us on the way. So I've said many times in recent weeks that those of us who are prone to anxiety, I've come to believe, are highly intuitive beings. A Course in Miracles, by the way, does not use the word intuition at all, but it does has this term psychic powers, which I believe it's referring to the same thing. I believe that each of us all of us, no matter if we have anxiety or not, but those of us with anxiety or those of us who are prone to anxiety or who are prone to feeling things very deeply, very strongly, not only are we super sensitive to our own miscreations, our own mistaken thoughts, our own fears, but we, I believe, can also pick up and tune in on the collective mistaken thoughts, the collective fears that are out there. And we have to develop the ability to differentiate between what is ours and what is not ours, because what is ours is what is given us to do. What is not ours is what, you know, our brothers and sisters are having to look at and choose surrounding, you know, turning whatever it is that they're facing over to the Holy Spirit and looking at it perhaps differently. So before I move on to paragraph number 2, any comments or questions coming up for anyone so far? Okay, let's read paragraph number 2. Certainly, there are many, quote, psychic powers that are clearly in line with this course. Communication is not limited to the small range of channels the world recognizes. If it were, there would be little point in trying to teach salvation. It would be impossible to do so. The limits the world places on communication are the chief barrier to direct experience of the Holy Spirit, whose presence is always there and whose voice is available but for the hearing. These limits are placed out of fear. For without them, the walls that surround all the separate places of the world would fall at the holy sound of his voice. Who transcends these limits in any way is merely becoming more natural. He is doing nothing special, and there is no magic in his accomplishments. So, if all of us have this capacity, as we each become more natural, as we each allow the blocks of fear in our own minds to drop, we are becoming more natural and we are doing nothing special. There's no magic in our accomplishments. A Course in Miracles says that we are capable of doing everything that Jesus did. He is our elder brother. And yet I know for myself, I still separate him out and make him very special. And the Course also is very clear that he utilized an extreme teaching example, and we are not asked to, you know, utilize such extreme circumstances as he did in order to learn. But that we have the ability to do exactly what he did as we allow these barriers that we've placed in our minds, both, you know, collectively and individually, as we allow those barriers to fall, we become clearer and clearer at listening to the Holy Spirit, at tuning into guidance, at using our intuition and tuning in to things that are happening and unfolding around us. Christine.
I want to make a comment about when he talks about magic, because I do think that we sometimes feel it's magic. And I guess I wanted to put an emphasis on that, mm-hmm. because I know my times where it's kind of like, I don't believe this, but it's happening. I just wanted to accent the magic.
Yeah. So are you saying, am I hearing you correctly in that what we can do when we are experiencing something that is of, call it our psychic nature, our intuition, we're experiencing something of God, that we can dismiss it as magic because, you know, it's happening, but we don't believe it. Is that part of what you're saying?
No, I guess I'm just kind of
pointing out that we can misuse this as magic.
The world sometimes, you know, I'm human. I'm here on Earth, and when things happen, it's kind of magical. I guess that's all I'm really saying.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. There is a lot of that, that feeling of magical in a good sense. There's different ways we can use the term magic, and the course typically is not using magic in a positive sense. You know, magic, according to the course, is when we are giving power to something that really has no power. For instance, we give, it talks about medicine being magic, not that we don't use it, but that, you know, we put belief in things that actually, you know, aren't getting to the source of where healing truly lies. So thank you for that, Christine. Anybody else want to chime in? You know, I do just want to say with the comment that I just made, that it is, I've been through this very recently myself, where I was disowning things that were happening, things that actually have been happening for a long time, disowning experiences because I think I was afraid of my ego. Like, what is my ego going to do with this experience? If I own that this is like real intuition, like, you know, what does that mean? And yet I'm positive that even if you think that you can't identify anything in your life that has been super intuitive or psychic, if we spent some time digging, we could certainly find something, because we all have these types of experiences. And I think it's actually the ego that's denying that these types of things have any, you know, significance, when in fact they can be absolutely legitimate experiences, as these paragraphs are talking about. Okay, so we're becoming more natural. We're dropping fear. We become more natural, and we might be startled by these little surprises, these gifts, these intuitive gifts that pop up along the way, but it's the ultimate gift of remembering who we are that is what is the most important. So let's read paragraph number 3. The seemingly new abilities that may gather on the way can be very helpful. Given to the Holy Spirit and used under his direction, they are very valuable teaching aids. To this, the question of how they arise is irrelevant. The only important consideration is how they are used. Taken as ends in themselves, no matter how this is done, they will delay progress. Nor does their value lie in proving anything. Achievements from the past, unusual attunement with the unseen, or special favors from God. God gives no special favors, and no one has any powers that are not available to everyone. Only by tricks of magic are special powers, quote, demonstrated. So I've always reserved the idea of being psychic or having intuitive gifts for other people who have been experiencing things since, you know, childhood, that they were born, you know, seeing things, seeing people who have been deceased or angels. I've always reserved the idea of intuitive gifts for other people. And with the, I'll call it a period, I believe I identified, a friend actually identified, I think my, I would look at my year of 2021 as a grand period of unsettling. And one of the things that came out of my willingness to create an absolute open space in my mind to be taught again. So it was the space that came out of dropping my ideas about what I thought I knew about A Course in Miracles, dropping ideas of how I defined God, dropping ideas of why I thought I was here, like literally letting it all go. One of the things that has emerged out of this is an owning of my own intuitive abilities and my own intuitive gifts. And I am in a class right now, I've mentioned this a few times, where we're doing family constellation work, which involves tuning into your lineage, either family lineage or soul lineage. Because the whole idea in family constellations work is that as you tune into the field changes. So to put this in coarse terms, we all have thoughts that are mistaken thoughts. And it is possible that a lot of those thoughts, like family patterns, family beliefs, have not originated with us. They've originated from before us and have been passed down, and we've kind of, you know, kept pumping belief into them. And so with this process of tuning in to, you know, issues that you're facing with now, that you're being faced with now, and tuning into where in your lineage did this originate, by doing that, it can actually change, you know, your relationship to that mistaken thought now, to that block or issue now. And by doing this work, it has not only shown me that I'm very intuitive, but it's also opened up a new channel of communication, as Michelle began us with this idea of non-physical friends. And I've had some very unique experiences. And I'll say that Archangel Raphael and I are now like, he's becoming a good friend. And I am speaking as someone who was previously very judgmental and, you know, was not into angels or any of anything that like wasn't clearly written, you know, in A Course in Miracles. And that's all been blown out the window. So I could go on, and I don't want to dominate the conversation, but I want to hear what anybody else, what's coming up for you right now. Any questions or comments? I saw a couple hearts. Thank you. Deidre.
I have a huge smile on my face, Corinne. As you know, when you started this group years ago, often I would come on and be talking about that this intuition, this psychic ability belongs to everyone and it doesn't make anyone special. And I remember some of the stories you shared around this, and I'm just really moved, and I feel blessed that you are now opening up to your own understanding of it, because I truly believe that this is something that needs to happen for everyone. It's not something that someone can tell you. You need to experience it for yourself. Mm. And we get to experience how powerful we are as spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. So I just am really, my heart is full and
really happy for you. Thank you, Deidre. You know, you've been such an inspiration to me, and I've definitely made you special with your gifts. And, you know, it's, you always said that like, this is available to all of us, but in my head, I still would be like, well, not me. And I wonder, as you know, you all are listening, if that comes up for anybody too, like, you know, well, not me, but you, yeah. Okay. But you know, not me. And I always was like, well, that's great, but not me. And yet what would happen? So I'm going to be sending out some emails soon. And one of the stories that I'll share that I if you're on, I think everybody's on my email list, I'm guessing, but years ago, I had an experience where my husband and I were cruising down a hill on our bikes. And I had a flash of like a vision of a giant deer running out in front of me. So I slowed down, and not even 5 seconds later, a huge deer bolted across the road. And that was, you know, quite some time ago, but I always would dismiss these things as flukes. And I'm sure any of us, especially if you have kids, you know, that parent intuition, if your loved ones, animals, you know, like sensing just what your animal needs, that's your intuition. That is your intuition in action. We all have this gift. So Deidre, you're absolutely right. We all do. You know, it's not special for any of us. And it is something that shows up the more and more we let go of blocks. And I will say that I've been on this spiritual pathway of being wholly dedicated to dropping the fear blocks in my mind. And I've seen little gains, and nothing could prepare me for this, you know, releasing of what felt like my entire spiritual grounding and the act of faith that I think that demonstrated for you know, what has been coming up. And I did get a couple of direct messages that people would just love to hear. I'll give a quick example where I didn't plan what I was going to share tonight. So this is, I'm just being organic here, but it does feel right to share this, that maybe a month ago, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, not too long ago, I experienced in the middle of the night, I got up to use the bathroom and I experienced, and this has happened many times since, I saw with my eyes closed, a beautiful bright green pelvis, like the bones, like as almost as if it was like a perfect drawn out lower part of a skeleton, like the bones, they were glowing green. And behind them, and I don't know the significance of that. I've been having a lot of low back issues that have, I think, root chakra stuff, lots of stuff is rearranging, and that part of my body has been like, rah. But behind the pelvis were these feathers. I could only see like the lower part of it, but there was this green light that was cascading down the feathers. And I was seeing this behind my eyelids. Like it was very, very clear. And it was as if I was looking at a picture. It didn't feel like necessarily I was like looking at like an angel or a being or something. So I didn't know what happened. I didn't know what to make of it. I was like, that was interesting. But these types of quote unquote visions, whatever you want to call them, in this green light kept occurring, but with different things. That was the only time I saw the angel wings. There was one night when I was seeing all these numbers. Yes, I did play the lottery the next day with my mom and my sister just for fun. And no, we did not win, but we got a big kick out of it. And again, all these other pictures, flowers, just this like dazzling display, always in this vibrant green. And I was working with someone who was reading my Akashic records, and she said something about Archangel Raphael in green. I had another practitioner I was working with who was talking about Raphael. When I told her about what I saw, she got so excited, and she was like, Raphael revealed himself to you. And a lot has been coming up in my experience about healing and healing abilities. And I've been working with my chicken. There's a whole story there that I can go into, but I'm practicing, let's say, and I'm keeping a very open mind and a lot of clarity that whatever it is that's emerging after having gone through this really intense undoing period, I've given my life completely to Holy Spirit and to Jesus and to the Divine Mother to be used however it is that I will be used. So some of you have asked me what comes next after the study group. I have no freaking idea. I am waiting to be told, and I just trust that I will be told, because I still feel like right now I'm kind of in the middle of whatever it is that is transpiring. And so if I can just say again and emphasize again what Deidre has always said, that this is for all of us. We all have whatever the abilities are. Some people might communicate with angels. Some people might be able to communicate with the dead. I'm working with somebody right now who sees the dead, which is just kind of mind-boggling to me. But we all have different ways in which we are asked to be communication devices, which, you know, ways in which we're asked to use the body as a communication device. And as we just do this work that, you know, is revealed to us. So thank you for those who prompted me to share a little bit more. It's been quite a ride. Any comments or questions?
Now, could you go over, please, what you said about the undoing process that you went through, like what questions you asked yourself and waited for the answers?
So, yes, I seem to go through a major period of undoing every 12 years. I don't know why that's the pattern, but that's when I realized 24 years ago was when I had my first panic attack and the course was introduced to me. 12 years ago was my adult age episode of anxiety when I stopped bypassing and started looking. And then now, you know, this summer and in this period of undoing, things got really intense in my life. Lots of stressors coming from multiple directions. And I felt completely overwhelmed by them. And when I say overwhelmed, like really, really, really overwhelmed, extremely stressed out, feeling very unsteady and unsure if I was going to slip into debilitating anxiety again. Like I just didn't know. And I didn't ultimately, but I came very close. And see the questions to ask, it's like, you have to ask Holy Spirit, what questions do I ask? Like, what is it? It's not, you know, my path is not going to be the same for everybody. Each of us has our own curriculum. You can ask Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to be asking you? Like, what is it that I need to look at it? What is it that I need to look at? What is it that I need to let go of? And in my case, I was getting this growing feeling inside that I was being asked to literally drop every perceived safety net that I had built up around Corinne. That means A Course in Miracles. It was mainly A Course in Miracles in terms of spiritual teachings. I included a willingness to delete my website. Like I was literally willing. I feel like I'm going to cry. I was willing to literally let it all go, like delete my podcast, delete my website, like just be done and step back into whatever it was that I was being prompted to do. And that was not the guidance. So none of that's gone anywhere, but I was being prompted to take a radical leap of faith and let go of that which I thought kept me together. You know, the course has always been my glue, and it felt like it was time to shake that up, to shake up my attachment to it, let's say, in order for something new to come through. So that's what's been emerging ever since then. So it wasn't that, again, there were specific questions that I, you know, went through in order to go through this period of undoing. The period of undoing does you, you know, it's our life. It's literally what's happening in our life that's triggering us, that's stressing us out. What relationships are there that are, you know, pressing our buttons? That's all part of this orchestrated plan to help us wake up, to help us loosen our grip on who it is that we think we are here and playing these little games of these bodies. Does that help, Cynthia? I know I didn't really answer your question.
Yeah. Oh, it does. It does.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. I have to read this. Stephanie said, is this like getting signs all the time? I've been getting messages everywhere, synchronicities that are mind-blowing. Stephanie, 100%, yes. Deidre responded also, yes, it can be signs. Synchronicities are a form of this. So if you, again, that can take so many different forms and it's going to be different for all of us. One of the ways that that was showing up for me when I was like barely holding it together in August, because August was my really rough month, I was seeing patterns of numbers everywhere. To the point where I'm seeing some smiles, to the point where I remember looking at my laptop. I'm a night owl. I stay up really late. And I looked at my laptop. It was 1:11 a.m. I walked out of my office, looked at my dryer. My dryer had 1 hour and 11 minutes left. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I came back in my office, wrote it down because I was logging like everything that was happening. Walked back into my kitchen and my microwave had 1 minute and 11 seconds left. You cannot plan for that to happen, you know, if you try. So 100%, Stephanie, signs and synchronicities, they show up. Jesus, Holy Spirit, angels will use signs and symbols in all sorts of forms. And we need to just stay open while also not getting so obsessive that it turns into like an ego thing. Cause that this is like always a slippery slope too, because the ego will be like, I had a friend who I used to tease because there was a trucking company called, I can't remember what it stands for, but it has G-O-D in big letters on the side of the truck. It's something on demand. I don't remember what it stands for. And every time that truck went by, she was just, you know, at it, like so excited. And I was like, maybe the truck is just on its route. So, but to her, it was meaningful. So we have to also be open to, as signs and synchronicities show up, tuning in, you know, what could this, does this mean something to me right now? Tuning in and asking, and if it feels like it does, paying attention to that. So that's, I think, a key part, at least for me, is tuning in. Is this synchronicity? Is this a sign? Does it have meaning for me? And asking. Carol and Pat.
Hi. I just have to chime in here. I don't know. It's been a couple years ago that Deidre shared with us on one of these calls about the book Angels in My Hair by Lorna Byrne. And it was a time in our lives when we were losing a lot of people on this earth plane. Mm-hmm. And I've read that book a number of times. We've listened to it, audiobook. And we had the good fortune of being able to do a workshop with Lorna Byrne, you know, a virtual workshop. Uh-huh. And I had a client who, God bless, is 102. And the woman and I have this thing where, I mean, I would go see her and the next day she'd say, I was going to call you. It was 11:11 at night. And I thought of you. And so everybody in my family, we now see all these numbers and we're like so connected. And a couple of weeks ago, my daughter and her dog were in a car accident, and they were going down Ocean Avenue, and this car came at them and hit them side. Thank you, God, they were okay. There is no question in my mind that they had their angels with them. When the adjuster came to our house and said, oh, this is much worse than we thought it was. There's my husband and my son go out in the middle of the night to help people. And I'm laying in bed because I'm a very light sleeper. And I'm talking to all the angels. I'm just talking to them. And I feel so much comfort in doing that. And I feel so connected. And I really give the credit to the course and Deidre for introducing me and all these people that are open to this. You know, Lorna Byrne, one of the things she talked about is nature and how important it is to connect to nature. And that, well, actually she talked about how this was, I don't know, a month ago or something, at least a month ago, that we watched this or participated in this. And she talked about how important it is for us to come together in peace. And my kids came home last Thursday. And I don't watch the news. I really don't, you know, like it's just something you were talking about energy. And I just sense, you know, a lot and yes, see some things, but I just can't go too deep into things. And both my kids have people that they were connected with, are connected with, that are Ukrainian, Russian, Ukrainian, you know, this whole, and I just broke down crying because I feel so connected to this in a way that again, my angels are helping me to be able to, again, Corinne, this is one of your gifts. Holy Spirit, I give this to you. Because that is so helpful to me to know, it feels empowering to know that I can do that. Mm-hmm. That's something I can do. And, you know, I never knew, like I hadn't been anxious. I just never really, you know, yes, I've read your book and yes, I could relate to the course and, but anxiety, no, I never felt like I ever had that. Mm-hmm. In the last couple years, oh my goodness, the anxiety and that's where the angels are helping me so much, mm-hmm. so much. So thank you.
Carol, thank you so much for sharing. I'm so glad you said your daughter and your dog. I'm so glad everybody's okay. And just thank you for your words. And I just want to comment on a few very important things that you just said. Being open to this. I wasn't open to this before. I joke around with my husband and I'm like, and my mom, I was like, well, judgmental Corinne would have said this. Open-minded Corinne says this, you know, like there's an openness now that I have that I didn't before. And we have to be open to experiencing synchronicities and experiencing angels. In some cases, I think people have like eye-opening, like, you know, major, like in-your-face experiences that totally turn their world upside down, like, you know, having a vision or a near-death experience or something. But I think for the vast majority of us, it starts with this open-mindedness of being just open to having these experiences. And you said another thing. I still have to read that book, Angels in My Hair. I'm very interested in that book, but you said something and I'll just share this because it's been hard for me. I've not yet publicly, this is the first time publicly I shared about the vision of Raphael. And it's not been something that's been easy for me to talk about yet because it is so new, but I do feel moved to share and I've shared bits and pieces, but I'm not going to sound very course-like for a minute, so please just bear with me, but, and I've shared a little bit of this already, but the connection to nature, I've always felt, I've always loved, and I felt that to be a good course student meant that I had to say, oh, that out there isn't real, you know, it doesn't matter, anything that I feel from it is just like part of the dream, part of the illusion. I was disconnecting. We are of nature. Our bodies are of the earth. We are like a plant sprouting out of the soil that is intimately connected with the earth beneath us. That is our body, not our soul, you know, not the truth of us, but our bodies are of the earth. We're just like any other plant or being that has arisen out of this. And to disconnect from that has been a missing piece for me where on one sense, I've always felt connected to nature, but on the other sense, I haven't owned it like I'm owning it now. And it's been this divine feminine energy that when I was in my big upheaval over the summer, this experience that I shared with you all previously of experiencing the Black Madonna for the first time, this is the divine feminine earthy type of energy that is emerging. It's as if we've been out of balance by focusing so much on the masculine, like God is he, that now there's this energy of like this feminine energy rising up to meet it, to balance things out in the way that this is actually Reverend Celeste Frazier is one of my teachers. And in a Black Madonna class that I took with her, she talked about the divine feminine rising to meet the divine masculine. Divine masculine is different than patriarchy. Divine masculine is a beautiful thing. That divine feminine and divine masculine are rising to meet each other. And the thought that came to me is that they're rising to meet, to join. And that's when like the dream kind of like rolls up like a carpet and is like, we're done. You know, we're opening up to who it is that we truly are. And you know, this union, this oneness becomes you know, our reality in our awareness. So to be talking about the feminine, a lot of people are like, well, God's not, you know, feminine or masculine, but we've been so, in my personal experience, I'll speak for myself. I've been so out of balance that this other part, this feminine part now is rising big time. And it's helping rebalance me. And I am feeling more grounded than I've ever felt before. And it's through the soil, it's through the trees, it's as if connecting with the earth and feeling so tuned into it, it's like the oneness becomes revealed through that. So I don't have to intellectually say, oh, that tree is just part of my mind. I don't need to do that. I can see that that beauty and feel that connection in that tree. And then it's like the oneness springs out of that. And then it's experiential. And then like, you just know that we are all connected, even to that little tiny plant, that blade of grass. Like the Course says, it says the smallest blade of grass becomes a thing of wonder. It's talking about like the tiniest little, you know, piece of sand, the smallest blade of grass that actually speaks to that. And that can be our experience again, if we keep this open mind and don't intellectually filter those types of things through what we think the Course says, and therefore, you know, cut it down in some way. Steve. So thank you again, Carol, so much for sharing.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
You talked about connecting with nature. I'd like to share a story real quick if I could.
Please.
Towards the end of 2019, and we all know what was in brewing at that time, within our society, I had the opportunity to help some folks move from where I live in California into Arizona, which is, they're near Sedona, but not really. And so we're driving down this road and it's a 2-lane road, and we come up over this rise and drop down into the Prescott National Forest. And we're just going down this 2-lane road, and I'm following them, and they're maybe 2 miles ahead of me, and there's nobody coming at me, nobody in my rearview mirror. So I'm just kind of by myself. And I actually felt like I had been levitated out of my vehicle. I'm doing 65, 70 mile an hour. And yet I had this feeling within me, just this overwhelming feeling that I was royalty, that all these trees on each side of the highway were standing up and just honoring my presence. And it was mind-boggling. And so that lasted for, I don't know how long, but I came back into the vehicle and everything was fine. And we went on our way. But about 3 months later, that was in August, it was the following spring, up in the hills behind me is we're at the base of the Southern, I'm at the base of the Southern Sierra, the High Sierras in California, magnificent forest up there. And so I'm driving up there and I get this, I'm going up to visit some friends. And again, there's pine trees all around me. And I just get this nudge to turn off on this road, this dirt road. And so I drive back maybe a couple hundred yards, and there's a clearing and there's an old fire ring. And I thought, well, this would be a nice place to have lunch. So I sit down, I get my chair out, I get all my stuff out. And as I start to sit down, my attention just, boom, went to this one tree. Out of all these ever around me, this one tree. And I walk up to it, and at the base of this tree was a bunch of garbage. And I couldn't see it from where I was at. It was of no interest to me at all. I thought, well, this is interesting. So I pick it up and I put it, and I start walking back to where I was going, my chair was. And then boom, the same thing happened again. And I walk over this tree and this other tree. And here is some really, really old garbage that looked like it had been there for 20 years. So I picked that up. And this went on for like an hour. Okay. And I had ended up with this big old trash bag full of garbage. And again, as I go to sit down, my attention gets drawn to another tree way back in, probably 100 yards away. And I just start walking, in this direction. And I come around this tree, and on the backside of it is this huge rope swing that had been there for I don't know how long. So now I find myself hanging from this tree, just swinging around, having a great time like a kid in the playground, And it was just the most incredible experience I'd ever had in my life. And since then, I've got a couple of pine trees here at my house, and I sit under those. And there's times that I can feel the connection to that tree, and yet their root system going through the earth connects me to all the trees, up there in the hills. And it's just amazing. It's more fun than anything else. Mm. And if I'm losing my mind, that's okay, because I'm having fun with it. And I'm connected, and it's, you know, experiences I've never had before. And we've touched on it earlier. Y'all touched on it earlier. You know, just being open and willing to set our ego aside and say and be open to any possibility. And it's so fulfilling. So I'm so grateful and so happy that you're experiencing what you are. And holy cow.
And I'm so happy you're experiencing what you are, Steve. That's absolutely beautiful. I have to name, you said that you feel that connection to that tree. Anybody else relate to that, that feeling of that connection? I know I'm going to see a lot of hands going up. I'm naming that for everybody. That is your clairsentience.
Ooh.
One of the clairs. Clairsentience. That is your psychic ability to feel, to be connected to something else, to feel, to receive information that's from some, you know, outside of our five senses. That is your clairsentience. So all of you that raise your hand, and even if you didn't, there's other ways I'm sure that you can relate to that. I'm encouraging each of us to own our intuitive gifts, because we all have them. And the more that we recognize them and give ourselves permission to own them, the more we can start to practice using them and feeling into them and growing them and nurturing them. So that was beautiful, Steve. I really related to your experience.
Yeah. And on top of that, I find myself honoring the trees that are around me. You know, I even, my granddaughters, you know, will be out playing or somewhere and says, well, go thank the tree for giving us the shade that we were just sitting under. And, you know, it's just so much fun. And
That's awesome.
That's it. Thanks.
Absolutely awesome. I love it. Thank you so much, Steve. That's so, so powerful and so beautiful. And I'll just add that this is where this points to an experience that I had over the summer where I felt that the earth itself and all the living things on it are all part of the Son of God. They're all brothers, quote unquote, brothers and let's say children of God. They're all living. They all have this life force behind them. And so rather than cut it down because, like, you know, the Course says this and that, can we allow our experience, especially if we're one who feels connected to nature, can we allow the Holy Spirit to repurpose that for us, to teach us, to show us of our interconnectedness with everything, and to be able to claim our clairsentience, that capacity that we all have. So thank you, Steve.
Yeah, that was one problem I always had with the Course, as far as this being all an illusion and a dream that we made it all up. But if we're down here anyway in the physical body, then, you know, what we've made, we have a choice of how we treat it and how we communicate and what we do with it and about it. Because, I mean, we've got the universe, we've got the sun, we have all of these, you know, physical entities that are here. And yes, we can move through them on some sort of level, but, you know, when the tree tells you it loves you, you need to respond and say, I love you back and thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you for what you do for us, and, you know, be good to the, you know, the physical being that, you know, the Mother Earth from which we sprouted this, you know, body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just like there's the Tree Sisters, and they have a website, and it's all about, you know, honoring and preserving the trees and planting trees. And they had a fundraiser one day, and there was a tree girl, and she does photographs all over the world of ancient trees, just old trees. And she gets naked and goes up into the trees and becomes one with the tree. And she was late for this one photo session of this old tree. I don't know how old it was or where it was, but she felt disappointed that she wasn't there at dawn and she had missed the perfect opportunity. But, you know, she took these photographs anyway. And when she got back and developed them, what she caught was the chakras of the tree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just phenomenal. And it was just eye-opening to her as well. And that was one of the photographs that she, you know, put in her presentation.
Wow.
They're just as alive as we are. They have energy centers and, you know, they speak and they are interconnected. All the, you know, the roots do talk to each other, just like our psychic abilities, and we speak with each other. So they're just as important as we are out here.
Yep. I love that. I'm right there with you, Cynthia. That's absolutely beautiful. I wanted to respond to something that you said or add something. Let me see if it'll come back. It's gone. It's okay. It's okay. It'll, if it's meant to come back, it'll come.
That part about the inconsistencies with the course in the physical world.
Look at your intuition. That's it. I'm hearing my echo, actually.
Oh, I wanted to add something real quick.
If go for it, Jason.
Yeah. So this ties in nicely with the question we had earlier about synchronicities, because my understanding is that, everything is connected, period. And synchronicities is just the first perception of that, that everything is connected and working simultaneously together. It's nothing is really working separately. Mm-hmm. It's like almost like trying to say a wave or a ripple on the ocean is doing it by itself.
Right.
And if you look from the airplane down to the surface of the ocean, you'll see little crests. And a quantum chemist actually out of Texas wrote a whole book based on that observation. He saw how every single wave was connected to other waves, and underneath it, the waves was the totality, which was the ocean. Mm-hmm. And that the wave was so he went into quantum physics, but Eckhart Tolle actually uses the same metaphor as how the wave is just like the manifestation of form. It's funny because it's a wave, right? Kind of like quantum mechanics. We say wave functions. We all have waves and frequencies and all this. And trees are completely, we're completely dependent on them for life. They do nothing but give. They barely take anything. A lot of trees don't take a whole lot of nutrients out of the soil, even in the rainforest. And then in the ancient rainforest, the ancient forests are sacred spaces. And we've lost that connection with those sacred spaces. Even the Romans had sacred spaces. Everybody had a sacred space in their home, an atrium where they collected rainwater. And there was a spirit that they that they acknowledged with that space, but we lost that over the last 2-3,000 years. So
that's all. We sure have. Thank you so much for sharing, Jason. That was beautiful. And I'll just say, just with sacred spaces, I have started, and again, I don't know what's going to come of this. I think something may, but I have an altar constellation for doing my family constellation work behind me, but I have a whole other setup now devoted to the Divine Mother. And I am just obsessed with rocks. Like, I mean, they're crystals, but I've never been into this before. And suddenly it's this whole new thing that I can't get enough of, because I'm just like overwhelmed with the amazing beauty that like Mother Earth could make these things. Just to respond to a couple of points that Cynthia said that I just wanted to come back to. When she spoke about hugging trees, like the being in the woods and the photographer, you made me think of during the pandemic, there were some articles circulating around recommending that people hug trees, that if you're in isolation and you're all alone, that going out and hugging a tree can actually be really therapeutic. How can that be therapeutic if there wasn't some sort of energy exchange between you and that tree? It wasn't saying go hug a rock, you know, it was saying go hug a tree. And then the other point that I wanted to make, which you reminded me of, was just about how, if you think about it, if we are all so geared, if there's this dominant, and when I say, so there's the divine masculine, but then there's the patriarchy. Those are two different things. And I'm still just, again, learning a little bit about both slowly. If the patriarchy has sort of dominated all of our minds and it's very intellectual, it brings us very much up into our heads. What happens when we come to the course very much up in our heads? We're going to take in the teachings that are very much up in our heads. We're going to take in the teachings that are very heady. And the feminine is the more experiential aspect to the course, which it's right there on the page with, you know, the teachings coming through experience. But I know in my own journey, I was very much just on the more intellectual side of things for a very long time. And that was the more masculine side of me. And you know, this much more feminine experiential side that loves trees and loves the dirt and loves little creatures and birds and animals. Again, allowing the love of that to be used by Holy Spirit to teach. That's what it's all about. Loving a tree. Somebody wrote to me and they were like, I feel like I can't be a course student. And what was their job? It was something with nature, like an advocate for it, like an environmental advocate. They're like, I feel like I can't do both of these things. And it's like, this is the vibe the course community is putting out when we are dismissing relationships that we have with nature, when in actuality, the course is saying, hey, bring all of your relationships and to be, you know, repurposed. Everything can be used. You don't have to sacrifice anything. So Steve says, we have a lot to learn from our Indigenous ancestors. We absolutely do. We don't know what we don't know. Yes. Thank you. Somebody wrote, in my sacred practices with First Nations peoples, this is a direct message. In my sacred practices with First Nation peoples, trees are considered preferred to, I'm sorry, I just, let me reread this again. In my sacred practices with First Nations peoples, trees are considered referred to as, quote, the standing people. That is gorgeous. I love that. Thank you. Ah, Deborah, thank you for posting that. Did I see another hand? Was that John?
Yeah, I was just going to say, every time you say, I'm going to say something outside of the course, it's not outside the course. It's very course-like because you're speaking your truth. And that's what the course is all about, speaking our truths and being truthful and honest with ourselves and with spirit. So I just wanted to comment that.
I really appreciate that, John, because there is part of me, and I'm just being completely honest, that still I feel like dims my light a little bit. Like I still kind of want to almost be apologetic for what I'm about to say because it's new and it's different. And some people are going to, I mean, I've gotten so many comments through the years of like, you're not doing the course right. And, you know, why are you talking about this? And so there's the part of me that is a little apologetic and I need not be. So thank you, John. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. So we did not get through our section and I feel like there's so much energy behind this topic. I don't think it's just me. I think it's others also. What we'll do is just continue. We'll finish up the paragraphs next week. And I'm sure even though it's only maybe three paragraphs left, we only read three paragraphs tonight. So we'll just, you know, fill it up with a lot of good discussion next week too. Deep breath. Thank you everybody so much again for holding the space for holding space for me. This is again, very new for me to talk about and a little scary. And I appreciate your love and I appreciate all of you and all the risks that you all always take in sharing and your vulnerability and your willingness. It's really inspiring. I see your hearts. Thank you. I love you all. I love you all. And I'll see you next week. Thanks everybody. Good night.
Bye everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.